with faith, and we're calling our teaching today the feeding of our faith. The feeding of our faith. Very few churches, it seems, ever really take faith seriously. They regard it as part of the fruit of the Spirit, and indeed it is. But it is an important fruit. It's a fruit that is found in Jesus, the same as the fruit of the Spirit is Him in us. He is the fruit. And He has come into our lives, not only saving us, to be fruitful, to bear that fruit, and to know that whatever trial or test we go through, whatever we meet, there's always a fruit there by the Spirit we can draw from. And many times you have to ask, because sometimes we're not always completely sure. Sometimes when we go through trials, physical trials, we have to know that there is fruit there in which we draw from. The same as my trial I've just come through. I had to know and seek God that there was fruit there in which to draw the life of Christ into me. And we need to learn this, brothers and sisters, as overcomers. And it is the same with faith. There is a faith today to draw from. Not yesterday or tomorrow, but today. Listen to what Jesus said to the generation that was with him. How much more is it today, after 2,000 years, with this last generation? But he said this in Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 11. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Note what he says in verse 10. They always go astray in the heart. It is in the heart that we believe, the seat of the emotions. You could in many ways say that God's promises are a part of you. God's promises are your new birth, because Jesus is the promise to us. And that is why we can feed off of this. Everything that God has put within us to walk this walk in this life, to be overcomers, is all there for us to partake of. But Jesus said, you have not because you ask not, for you ask amiss. And this is why we do not always receive, because we're not asking for the right things. We're not being inspired. We're not getting the revelation in asking. We're still carnal in our mind and thinking. And this is why we're to put on the mind of Christ and have our minds renewed by the Spirit of the Word. Romans 8 is what we're destined to walk in. You see, our faith, as I have said, needs to be nourished. It needs to grow, the same as you need good food within your bodies, in which your bodies to perform and work for you. And we all want good health. We all want to be strong, whole in mind, body and spirit, and absolutely right. But that has to be the same spiritually. And we don't often put it first. We put often the body, the things of the flesh, that takes more of a dominant control over us than seeing the spiritual. And this is why a lot of Christians never grow. They never grow into a walk of faith, experiencing, standing, seeing the promises of God being fulfilled in their life, because the flesh is still too strong. So what is the problem where the flesh is concerned? We go right back to the cross. They're not taking it up daily as they should be, just now and again when they think about it. But we're told daily to take up our cross and follow Christ. That's what he said in Luke 9. And he says it still today. Because otherwise you will not know the walk of the Spirit. For these promises, they are worked by the Spirit. And you're wanting to feel something. You're wanting something tangible. And it doesn't work that way. It comes as you hear. Romans 10:17. It comes as you embrace and take those promises into your heart and then allow the root of those promises, the word, to start to set root. Like any seed that is sown by a sower, all the conditions of the soil have to be met first. Then there is the sowing. And it appears absolutely lifeless, nothing, just a ploughed field. But in time, then those green shoots start to appear. You see, there didn't appear to be any life, anything happening, as though the heavens are closed to me. But that is always how it works. The seed of the word has to be sown into you, and you have to nourish it by your walk, your commitment, your prayer life, your trust in God, keeping away from the spirit of this age, wrong influences in your life. Too often we're still mixing too much with the world, their ways, their lives. We're amongst adulterers and adulteresses, fornicators. We're told not to get involved with these people. Of course, we can't avoid them, but we don't start befriending them and having them as our friends. This will hinder your faith. God can't work with you when you're defiling your consecration before him. And we, all of us, have to be on our guard. I have to be on my guard. And sometimes you have to just pray, Lord, get me out of this situation or this relationship or these people that want to draw me into their circles. Help me to escape in this. And God always will do. As I've said many, many times, we are attractive to a lot of people. We can be attractive to our families because they see a grace about us, a gentleness, a love, a patience. We don't reject them. That's very appealing, particularly to this world now, with the hate and all that is going on. But we find that we can be trapped by this because we cannot save them. Only our prayers and intercessions can save them. But we have to maintain that separation unto the Lord. It's vital for part of our faith, our walk, our fellowship, our hearing from God. But at the same time, we don't ignore them or turn our backs on them or whatever it would be. Again, it comes back. Only the Holy Spirit in your life can balance you in these relationships and with your family and those who as yet are not saved. We cannot afford to be drawn in to their arguments, their gossip. They'll always try to get you to side on someone. And we only ever side on the Lord, you see. So all of these things we have to watch with the feeding of our faith that can hinder, you see. And so because we know that faith is a gift, it is given from God, therefore God is going to provide for that growth and that nourishment. We know that he's going to do that. Just read a few verses of something you're very familiar with here in John 21 verse 15. John 21 and verse 15, where the disciples are receiving the Great Commission now. And what this is what Jesus says here in verse 21, verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my sheep, my lambs." So you know the rest of the story. He challenges him three times on this. But notice it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, then he turns to them. So they've eaten for their bodies, nourishment, but he's now turning to their faith, their commitment. This is the true feeding. He's now presenting to Peter. And he does exactly the same with us. He will present food to us, of course, which we eat from, survival, living. But then God is not going to let you depend on that. He's going to then turn your attention to the spiritual food and manna that is going to give you and I eternal life. And this is how he often does it. You see, our teaching and instruction is always to nourish us. This is why we come regularly to our meetings to hear the word of God, because this is our spiritual nourishing. It's our spiritual food. Nothing wrong doctrinally to say, I'm going to be spiritually nourished today. This is my spiritual feeding that I have need of. And that is far more important than natural food. And we need to get that priority right. For example, what's it say in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which we have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promises of life that now is and that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. These things I command and teach. So he's got his priority right. It is the spiritual in which he sees the true nourishment. You see, the scriptures do also warn us that we can, like Israel, under Moses, we can completely miss it. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drink of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. And with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things become our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and idolatry and so on. So there we are. Again, those under Moses all ate of the same. And he says that God was not pleased with them because they were not eating right. There was idolatry, wrong affections, rebellion, all of which can only be dealt with is your cross that you take up daily. The cross deals with the flesh, the appetites, where we get it wrong. We gripe or we moan, or we just rebel against God. The cross will deal with that if you are indeed taking it up daily and following him. You will know the Holy Spirit's working. You will see he's there. But what the cross will do, it will help you to find in your trial, in your hour of need, there is a fruit of the Spirit to draw from. The cross is the instrument of which to reveal and show you what can support and hold you in that trial, in that testing, or whatever it is you're going through. Saints, you have got to learn to draw from this. Some of you are still failing. You are still trying it in your flesh. You're trying in your flesh to believe. You've heard it all, but you're not drawing the life. And that is the requirement. That is what is so important. This trial that I went through, I knew if I was to stand on the word of God and his promises, I have to draw from the life of Christ. And it doesn't come immediately. Very often you're tested for a while, but suddenly you become aware there's a power supporting me. There's a power believing through me. There's a power that is not of me. It is in Christ. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And any of you who are going through trials, physical trials, I implore you that you know of that power that is drawn by the Spirit, supporting, holding you in your weakness. For it is in our weakness we are made strong. This is absolutely vital. This is why things in the faith, teaching and message have gone wrong in the past. They have tried doing it in their own flesh. And what is always flesh before God is pride. And that is often the problem. You go right to the root of what it is. Pride will make us independent of God. It deceives us. It will let us think we're doing it God's way. that we are dependent on him. But that is the deception. And that is what you have to get delivered from. And close those lies to the mind. God is bringing each of us where our lives are utterly, totally dependent upon him, Christ crucified and risen. That's why it always goes back to the cross, brothers and sisters. Not by might, not by power, by my spirit, says the Lord. So, only a nourished faith will overcome and mature. And God is going to give us that right spiritual diet in which to achieve this. Let's turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and that you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is exactly what we're talking about. So that you discern, you know, you see, and God will show, you see. There are times when God shows you're not walking in the Spirit as you should be. And if you're walking humbly before God, you see it and you repent. This is what he's talking about here. So that we can go on to the solids of the word. We all like to think that we want the solids of the word. Who doesn't? You don't want to keep living on milk. But sometimes God's going to take us back and give us a bit of milk again because you've missed some things. And there is the love and grace and mercy of God. I've found in my life sometimes God takes me back to some of the basics. And I thank him for that, where I've missed it. We must never forget the Holy Spirit is your greatest teacher. The way he teaches you and I, no one could ever match it. The way he will highlight, the way he will think, bring things to our remembrance, the way he will bring us together for a message like this, and so on. Only God can do that. And if we're open, we will soak it in like a sponge. Because we're desperate to learn. We're desperate to get it right. Those who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind and being are desperate to get it right. And you know what? God will move heaven and earth on your behalf to get it right. That's what he loves. And even when we trip up, and we miss it a mile off. He loves to see a saint just get up again, dust themselves off, get themselves right before God and get back in that race. That's what warms his heart. But you've got those who become resentful, unforgiving, because they slipped up, because it's hurt their spiritual faith. God can't work with those who do that. And sadly, we've seen many go back with that mindset, that attitude. They're offended. But an overcomer who loves God, who has sold their life for Christ, is not offended. because they have seen that whatever they go through, even when they miss it, they have learned to know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And how God turns it around and works it together for good, I tell you, it is a miracle. I don't know how he does it, but he does. He does. And you always learn something from that trial. This is why the walk of faith is a schooling. Our meetings are really a schooling where we come to learn, to grow and mature in the faith. And finally, let's look at Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. No blemish, no lie, no deception. Nothing. It is purity. And that is why we have a pure faith. A faith that is growing, maturing. A faith that is causing us to look up as our redemption draws near. We have a faith within us that doesn't in any way want to be part of the spirit of this age and the rebellion. But a faith that keeps us separated unto a holy, righteous God. So there we are, brothers and sisters, the feeding of our faith. I think you'll see that it's very important, isn't it? And this is why we can rejoice and come together and rest in his presence, knowing that these pastures that he has given to us as his sheep are preserving and keeping us from the predator and those unclean things that are outside. We are his people, his sheep, his peculiar treasure set apart unto him. And he gives his angels charge night and day over all this. And he raises a standard, a banner against the enemy. Every time he tries to accuse, tries to find our weaknesses and so on, God is always one step ahead. Keep listening. Keep those knees bowed. Let the word of God sink from the head to the heart. And you will draw from the life of Christ that is in you, and he will sustain you for every trial and test that you go through, because he has gone before and prepared the way.